Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from three technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when we get to go backstage and meet the band. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And today's laugh or two is that we have a very special guest, Alex from the band Valley. And we'll get into how this all came to be, but first, why don't you introduce yourself and the band?
Sure, yeah. I'm Alex from the band Valley. I play bass in the band. I do some backup vocals, co-producing, tech guy of the band extraordinaire. We've been doing it for a long time now, and we're here in LA at the Wiltern, and very excited to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So I figure we got to explain how this all came to be, because you guys might be watching this thinking, how on earth did you get backstage with the band?
Yeah.
And what are we doing here? Well, I think, Noah, you should probably start the story. Yeah. Go all the way back to the beginning. How did you even find out about Valley?
Okay, this is such a crazy story. But I will say I've been a fan of Valley since summer of 2019.
Hell yeah.
When Spotify recommended Park Bench from Maybe.
Love it.
And that was the first song. And that was back, I think Maybe was your most recent project at the time, your most recent album at the time. And then everything else came out after that. So I've been, you know, listening to the music since then, huge fan. I think you guys are like my number six most listened to artist of all time.
We're getting it up there.
I know. But yeah, big fan. So this is a pretty crazy experience for me. How did this actually happen? Well, let's see. Back in June, I came to LA to visit Luke for Dub Dub. We did our, you know, live broadcast for Dub Dub. And it was like the day after I got to LA, you guys posted on your social media, like, hey, we're going to be in LA. We're going to be at the Wiltern, which is where we are right now. And we're going to be doing a meet and greet. You can, you know, come meet the band, get your tickets, all that good stuff. So I saw that, and I have some pictures here to go with it. And we'll put the pictures on the podcast too. But yeah, we had that the announcement, they said, come early for a special surprise.
Yes.
I was like, okay, sure, special surprise, you know, maybe it'll be like a poster or something, but, you know, all good. So Luke drove me to the venue. We got lunch, but then he went home to go edit his Dub Dub video.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
day after Dub Dub, I was like, oh, I got to shoot my Mac OS review. So it was a near miss.
That's so funny. Well, I'm happy that it worked out this way.
Yeah, I know. So keep that in mind for the rest of the story. Yeah. Is that Luke was very close to going to that meet and greet, but went home to edit his video. Right. So almost didn't happen. Okay, went to the meet and greet. Said come early for a surprise. So I was there early. I was one of the first people in line. So when I got into the venue, there's, you know, a woman behind the table. It's like, congratulations, you're one of the first 20 people to come in. So we're gonna give you two free tickets to a secret show that the band is doing tomorrow night. Crazy, hell of a surprise, I gotta say.
Yeah, it was really fun. We were doing there's an organization called So Far Sounds that does pop-up shows. There's hosts that people do in backyards throughout. It's all over the world, actually. It's not just North America. Mm. We had done one a few years back, so we still had contact with them. And we were in LA for doing some radio promo and meeting with our teams and everything. And so we thought that this would be a cool opportunity to just, you know, play for some fans and you know, just do something fun. So we played this backyard show. And you guys showed up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so we were. I guess it was like halfway through the show, and you guys were playing. Which song was it? It was right before Bop Bop.
Oh yeah.
Or was it Bop Bop?
No, it was. You came out to play Bop Bop.
Yeah. So we did this thing where we don't usually do that. I mean, we try to, you know, do fun things like this, especially in intimate settings. But we were gonna do Bappa and come and sit with the audience members and make it a very intimate, like, acoustic moment. And so we come out and this is my perspective here. So we come out and I had recognized you because I think we maybe met briefly a few years back, right, at a show.
I met you at the meet and greet thing the day before.
The day before, and that was the first time we had met.
I think. I think so. I did go to your show in SF
right.
last year, but I'm not sure if I met you there.
Okay. But to bring it back to here, so yeah. I obviously recognized you
yeah.
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I've watched the podcast and I've watched many videos of on the channel and so consider me a fan. I am.
Well, consider me a fan too. I should also put in there that when Noah discovered you guys, he also showed me. So I've been listening to your guys' music for a while too. Not as much as him, because he is, you know, I mean, you're talking top five here, but yeah. you guys have been in my playlists consistently since like 2019.
That's so.
So it was an absolutely oh crazy coincidence. And in fact, Noah, I need to come clean.
Okay.
That when you first recognized me, what happens pretty much every time I am recognized, which is not a lot, is that I at first I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? Because you sat down and you're like, who is this guy? And I was like, am I in the wrong place? Yeah. Like, it doesn't occur to me that it's like a recognition thing when right. I'm out in like totally random places.
Sure.
If I'm in an Apple store, I'm kind of like, okay, this makes sense. This is home turf.
The setting is accurate for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Noah has told me that I apparently had this extremely like surprised and guilty look on my face.
I was surprised too. Well, I was like, hold up. I was like, wait, I know exactly who you are. I sat in my brain, you know, because we're doing this thing. I'm thinking about the song that we're about to play, and the three of us are sitting down in the grass, and I turn over, and you're literally sitting to my left, I think.
Yeah, I was, and like, 2 feet away from
you. Yeah. And I was like, hold up. This feels like a weird, like, dream where, like, people that you know of that shouldn't necessarily be there, or, you know, just, like, an odd combination of like, you know, worlds like meeting.
I'm used to listening to you in my earbuds. You're used to seeing me on a screen.
Exactly.
And there we are, like, so, wait a minute.
Yeah, and so I'm like, holy crap, like this is crazy. Like, what a fun moment, you know?
I literally moved my flight back to go to that concert.
That's true.
Because I was supposed to leave the next day, like at noon, and so I moved it a day later.
Thank God you did.
That, you know, I could go to the concert.
Wow, yeah, I forgot God about that.
Yeah.
And so now here we are, and we bonded over the shared passion mm-hmm. for Apple products
yeah.
in our own nerdy little way.
Yeah. Very, very much so. I mean, I post you know, acoustic performance, I think we probably talked for at least an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they, you know, the owners of the place were trying to, you know, be like, all right,
they're like, okay, we're going to bed, get out. It was literally somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
Of a house.
Our tour manager is like, all right, we gotta go, guys. But I'm like, okay, but we're chatting about all these fun things.
We're talking about Dub.
We had because it had talk just about happened
mm-hmm. 2 days prior to that. It was Dub. So, you know, there was a lot to talk
there
about.
There was a lot to talk about, you know. And
you have an even more uniquely close connection to Apple because you worked at the Apple store when you guys were starting out.
I did. I worked there for a long time, actually. I worked there for 5.5 years.
Wow.
I got the plaque. I got the, and I'm sure it's just a printout, but I have the congratulations Tim Cook signature in the plaque.
Oh, very cool.
So it's cool. It's not on my bedside table, but I do keep it in my, it's there.
That's so funny. You know, funny you mention whether it's a printout or a real signature. Mm. I've actually seen the award that they give to employees for 20 years. And even that is a printed signature.
No.
20 years at Apple, you don't even get a handwritten
Tim couldn't
signature.
Be bothered.
They can afford to spend the time.
I mean, come on. How many people is it really that are there for 20 years?
Yeah.
Look, I know they have a lot of employees, but mm-hmm. they can take the time. And if anybody from Apple is watching, just, like, take the time.
What are you doing?
Just take the time. You can do a couple signatures. What we do when we have a ton of stuff to sign, because we'll sell or give away a bunch of signed stuff, we'll line it all up and we'll do it all in like half a day. And we'll do like thousands together. Thousands.
And there's not thousands of Apple employees that work there for 10 or 20 years.
No.
So I guarantee that he could do it in a night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least get one of those, like, there's a really fancy, expensive signature machine that you can get that does very slight variations of signatures. that I've heard.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, no. Wow. I mean, there's a lot of...
That's kind of nasty. I don't like that.
I know.
Morally, it's cheating. It's cheating. That doesn't count. No. So does it, like, hold... Is it, like, a robotic thing that holds the pen and signs it?
Yeah. Wow. It holds it, and dude. And so you. I guess what you do is you upload a few different variations, and it doesn't even copy those exactly. It does variations of that. And so... Mm. It's cheating. It's not the same. If I were a fan of someone or something, and I either spent the money or I won something or whatever, I would appreciate that it was an actual, you know.
I'd be pissed if I found out a robot signed it for me.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so long story short, Apple, sign a couple things for those for those special people at Apple. I appreciate them. I'm sure we all do. You do.
I mean, they've given us a lot of great products.
Yes, they have.
Most recently, of course, we've got the new iPhone 16 Pro.
Yep.
And soon to be the iPad Mini 7.
Yes.
And I definitely want to talk about all of the current events and everything that we have to expect. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to get your impression of, because I know that you guys use Logic, Pro Tools.
Absolutely.
You use Macs to not only make, but produce and perform all of your music. So how has that gone? How has that changed with Apple Silicon?
It's funny. Well, first of all, you've read my mind about the Apple Silicon part. I'll get to that, but we've been using Apple products throughout the entirety of our career. Mm-hmm. I have been using Apple products for the entirety of my interest in music. I think Apple is synonymous with creativity and creators.
Absolutely.
Whether that's in the music side of the industry, whether that's video or graphic arts, whatever it is, Apple is synonymous with all of those things. And I will say, I am biased, but it is the best foot forward and the easiest foot forward when getting into something. And they have so many free applications to get people started when there's even a spark of interest. You know,
absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's how I started. You know, I bought my first MacBook Pro way over a decade ago. I saved up, you know, working at Starbucks for like 3 years, and I finally bought my 15-inch, and it was I have photos of that day still, and my dad was so excited for me. It was a really cool moment. But anyway, the progression from there is insane. I mean, we went from like Intel fairly low-powered quad-core chips that couldn't really run a whole lot.
Like your laptops weren't really... They didn't have enough grunt to get through the workload?
No, and the thing is, especially in the music industry, most people, I would say, are laptop-based.
Right.
The industry as a whole has shifted so much from studio-based stuff, and we do still work in studios. Mm. I still like going and working in recording studios, but when you're starting out, or you're self-producing, or whatever you're doing in that area, it is quite pricey to go into a studio with, you know, say like decked out, you know, 24-core Mac Pros, and you know, like what at the time was the you know, flagship computer for the studio industry.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd say most people go for a laptop. Most people go for a MacBook Pro. Some people even have MacBook Air. When I was in school for production, everybody had a MacBook Pro, and there were a few people with MacBook Airs. But going from that, you don't always have the best. You don't always have like the most power you could potentially have for producing in a laptop.
Right.
And that has changed so vastly since then.
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that you can get a 14-inch MacBook Pro with the same chip as a Mac Studio is bonkers.
No, it's insane. It has completely shifted.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching the keynote in 2020 and thinking, this is crazy that a MacBook Air is now running circles around my 2019 8-core maxed out i9 chip. You know, like it was just such a large jump. And I'm not unhappy with the fact that 1 year, you know, gave us such a large jump. I think it's great because I've kept that laptop, and now I'm ready for my first Apple Silicon MacBook.
Yeah, that really genuinely blew my mind. Alex is still running the 2019 15-inch butterfly keyboard.
Yeah. Not even a six. Not even the revised 16-inch.
Yeah. Not even. That is genuine.
I know. I know. It's a little embarrassing, but but look, laptops aren't cheap, and I did max it out when I bought it. That was the last thing I purchased while I still worked at Apple, I think.
Oh, so you got the employee discount.
I got the employee discount. They had that great, I think it was like 25% off or something, and they had that EPP Plus where it was like $650 off like any product or whatever. Oh, I maxed it out. I think I ended up paying like a couple grand Canadian, and it was like 32 gigs of RAM. It was 2 terabytes of storage. And you know what? Like, it's still a great laptop, and for a lot of people, it will work very adequately.
I mean, interestingly enough, the 2019 15-inch with that Core i9 is just ever so slightly better in terms of multi-core performance than the M1 chip.
Really? Okay.
Very, very, very slightly.
Thank God.
So, but that was the craziest part about that launch.
Yeah.
Is it's, you know, your $4,000 laptop that you had just bought that year, because it came out in May of 2019.
Yes.
1 year later, you get a fanless MacBook Air that is 90% of the way there in terms of multi-core. And way better in terms of efficiency, battery, snappiness.
Yeah.
And that was the worst Apple Silicon device that has ever existed.
And I think the funny thing is that wasn't a new design. It was a kind of like a transition computer, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
It was the, I guess the, it was the first laptop with Apple Silicon, right?
Yeah. That and the 13-inch MacBook Pro, also recycled design with the touch bar.
Which ran fantastically.
Yeah.
So, so good.
They literally drag and dropped in a new chip into the existing chassis, and it was unbelievably, I mean, the same battery got twice the battery life.
Insane. And I think it just goes to show like how much Apple cares about the development of their chips and the they knew that, I think they knew there was a step up that they had to go in their product performance, and they overachieved for sure. I mean, that MacBook, if anybody is watching this that has an M1 MacBook Air, you're probably going to hold on to that for the next 4 years.
That's something that's already mentioned.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's already 4 years old. And
no, I know. That's something that we've been talking about a lot on the podcast, is like the lifespan of these computers is so much longer than it was before.
My God, yeah.
And I think Apple is running into some issues with that when they're trying to get people to upgrade, but there's like no reason to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you can tell, I mean, in the iterations since, at least I've noticed, I think we can all speak to this, that they've... I can't say they've dumbed down their chips, but they've created a kind of a scale now.
Right.
Especially with the, I think it was an adjustment in the M3 cycle, where the M3 Pro was about the same performance as the M2 Pro chip in the laptops.
Right. Yeah. So the M3 Pro was super interesting because they actually reduced the number of cores.
Right.
And at first, people were kind of like, well, what is that all about? And I think it actually is a pretty interesting tactic. So it is, what they did was the M3 Pro with less cores achieves the same performance as the M2 Pro.
Right.
So what they did is kind of separate the Pro and Max. Because the M1 Pro and Max, the M2 Pro and Max, CPU is all the same.
The same, yeah.
The only thing you were getting was more GPU cores. But now you get more CPU as well. So the M3 Max is a monster. Yeah. It is as fast as the M2 Ultra that I have in my Mac Pro. $7,000 Mac Pro here. The M3 Max in my laptop is pulling the same performance. And it's insane.
Yeah, and you can get that in a 14-inch, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they're definitely pushing the cooling limits.
Yes.
The 14-inch does get louder, and it does throttle, and it does eat its battery if you deck it out all the way.
Big time. And that's, I guess that will help me make my final decision on whether or not and obviously that'll be a next generation thing. I'm sure that they might alter, but that's something I'll take into consideration when, you know, going for either a 14 or a 16 when I have to at some point very soon make the jump to
very soon
Apple
Silicon. November 1st is when they're coming out.
Are we thinking are we locked in on that?
I'm pretty confident. November 1st will be the M4. That'll be the release date. We're hearing a couple days before, I think that Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So not next, but the Wednesday after should be the release announcement.
Yeah. Now question, is it going to be event? No event? What are they doing?
We talked about this last week a little mm-hmm. bit.
Because we've just now had this soft drop of the iPad Mini 7.
Which was a bit surprising.
On its own. Nothing else alongside.
It's not the most exciting product, to be fair.
No. And
no.
It's funny, because I think they could have thrown that into a keynote.
Yeah.
Them not releasing anything else with it or alongside does give me some inkling that there might just be too much for an event that they have. Or
I think what we're gonna get is a 20-minute video.
Hmm.
I don't think it's gonna be a formal event with press invitations.
Right.
I think it'll have a video component, and they'll do, you know, the chip lab, all of the same trappings of an event.
Sure.
But it'll be 30 minutes and it'll just kind of boop, here it is.
Yeah.
Which is annoying for me, because that means at 5 a.m. Pacific, the next Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, and the following Tuesday, Wednesday, I have to make sure to set an alarm for like 6 a.m. to make sure that I don't miss anything.
Yep.
And then go back to bed if nothing happens.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited. I'm nervous.
Mm.
But I think the M4 lineup, I mean, it already is a larger jump. Seeing what we've already got in the newest generation iPad Pro, it's already...
Mm-hmm.
And that's a binned chip, I think, too. And it's already further ahead than even some of the, I think, is it the M3 Pro chip that it, or the M2?
It matches, so the M4 chip matches the M2 Pro Max and the M3 Pro.
Which is impressive on its own.
And that's tested in an iPad, fanless, and not necessarily running as fast as it could.
Right.
I think, well, there was that leak where the Chinese and Russian YouTubers somehow managed to get those.
I was going to text
you. By the way, I was offered one of those.
No, you weren't.
Someone texted me and they were like, would you like to buy one?
Whoa.
And I said, no, I'm not going to jail for this. They wanted $8,000.
Oh my God. For an extra, you know, month and a half ahead, like.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even be the first, I wouldn't be breaking the news. Not to mention, I live in California. They're going to be at my doorstep.
Tim Cook's
going
to show up to your door.
Oh. Yeah, he will be personally signing my arrest warrant.
Yeah. You'll get a signature.
Yeah, that is the only way I'm going
to
get
the
Tim Cook's signature.
The only way to get a Tim Cook's signature is actually it's on the arrest warrant. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I do think this is going to be, I think, the last of the chip swap upgrades for this generation of MacBook Pro. We were talking about that last week, because Noah's on the M1 Max and very content with it. And we were kind of talking about, like, well, what would it take to upgrade from there? You're a different use case, because you're a holdout.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I'm on the last generation, or one of the last generations, of the Touch Bar 15-inch, right?
Yes.
So I don't know how I ended up in this position, but I'm on the last generation of that body type and that cycle of MacBook, and now I'm going to be on the last, what likely will be the last cycle of this design with the MacBook Pros, where we've got the mini LED display, that ProMotion, thank God for ProMotion, oh my God, I can't stand the refresh rate on my laptop. It's the only thing I have.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the watch doesn't have a ProMotion.
True.
Thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's hard to go back and forth, because I'm like, this looks so good, and we have band machines where we have an M1 Pro running, you know, helping with our show, and so I work on that a bunch, going back and forth from my personal machine. I'm like, this is just, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
But back to my point, I'm on the last generation now, what likely will be the last generation of this cycle of MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see what comes after. I mean, the rumors of OLED making its way to MacBooks, but I've also heard potentially that might be delayed, and will Apple do a fifth generation of this laptop?
I wouldn't honestly be that surprised given the, shall we say, slow pacing of updates the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, what are we doing here?
I know.
4 years for AirPods Max.
Oh my God.
They put a new port on it and they picked a different paint color. iPad mini, 3 years. Took them 3 years to put a new chip in it and support the new Apple Pencil. That's it. People were so pissed.
Yeah.
I posted a TikTok about it and everyone's just like, the iPad mini has very diehard fans.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They're not very pleased. A lot of them are going to buy it anyway because they've been waiting for something, anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it supports Apple Intelligence, which isn't even out yet.
Yeah. That's well, where are we at now? We're October 18th. I guess it's coming in 10 days?
Well,
maybe.
The only thing that's coming, as far as I'm aware, is the Siri animation and smart summaries. That's it. What's what we've had in the betas.
And I've been very tempted to update to a beta, but I've held off because it is my daily driver on my 16 Pro, and communication is very important on tour. So I have not upgraded to a beta.
Probably wise.
Yeah. Probably wise. Yeah. I remember the first time I ever used a beta was on my iPhone 5S with, I believe, was iOS 7. The big redesign.
5S. Oh, yeah, the 5S came out with 7.
Yes.
So, wait.
Oh, it might have been on my 5.
Did they have betas for those back then?
I don't even know if it was a public beta.
Probably internal beta or something.
Yeah. I think I might have torrented a beta. Done it like the old-fashioned way.
Like an IPSW and like loaded it up?
I think I did that. Wow. I think I might have done that. And this is when I was in high school.
Did that ruin the phone?
No, it didn't actually. I do remember, I think I had to downgrade at one point. Either that or what I did was update to a non-beta when it came out. But yeah, that was interesting. I think what was so exciting was the big shift in visual change, and I wanted to be one of the first people with that.
We were actually talking about it the other day, though.
Yeah,
iOS 7 looks awful.
It's terrible. I understand what Apple was trying to do at the time. They were trying to obviously flatten everything. I remember the videos very clearly with Johnny. I'm talking. You know, in this minimalistic flat design, and I can appreciate what they were trying to accomplish, and I think that was, you know, 7 years of iPhones at the time, and
yeah, about that.
And I understand that they don't want things to become stale.
Mm-hmm.
The textures of like the Scott Forstall era, very interesting.
They've aged well, though.
They have aged well, and I look back at those and I feel nostalgic towards those.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my iPhone 4S, and I think that was like, you know, peak texture era, you know, with the green felts and like and the bookcases and the I am very nostalgic towards that era of software for sure. And I think that I don't think Apple wants to go back, but I can see that they've definitely refined to a point now where they're not ashamed to get a little bit closer to that now, especially since we've...
new morphism.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And we've had this era of design language. I mean, it's obviously matured,
years.
But 11 years.
Damn.
Very interesting.
It's a long time
to
have very minimal changes overall, but the depth is coming back.
Yes.
I mean, even in macOS, which obviously gets a little bit less of updates. I mean, do you remember when we downloaded the Yosemite beta, summer 2014?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
That was a big one. Big change.
I remember, because that was your idea. I don't know how you found out about that. I wasn't aware about it at the time.
What, getting a beta?
Yeah.
I must have had a developer account or something.
Yeah. Oh, it must have been. Yeah, must have been the developer beta.
Yeah.
But we on the unibody MacBook Pros, non-Retina, because you know that was 2014,
wow.
So we weren't gonna we were in high school. We didn't have the money to be, you know, staying up to date.
Yeah, I get that. No, I remember that was a big software upgrade for the Mac. I mean, and I think that brought things like continuity, if I'm not mistaken, and there were other larger software features that really unified the experience with iOS and macOS and what would then become iPadOS. I think it was still iOS at the time.
Yeah, that was really what started the convergence of the ecosystem to put everything together, which I think was a really, really smart move.
Absolutely.
In fact, do you remember the Modern Family episode? When Yosemite came out, they did an episode of Modern Family that took place entirely on the desktop of a macOS Yosemite computer. And the craziest thing was, it was all manually animated. It wasn't screen recording. There was no like actual software. It was all animated by hand. And apparently they had to keep going back in and changing it because they were working on the episode while the macOS was still in beta that summer. Wait. And so it would be like Apple would change something and they'd have to go back in and, oh, we got to replace this icon. We got to tweak this.
Did they work with Apple on that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, I will say.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know why they don't do stuff like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it was tremendously expensive and a ton of work.
Yeah.
But that was one of the most innovative episodes. I mean, that episode of TV went on to inspire multiple different movies.
Yeah.
That were all, you know, on a desktop or, you know, somehow told through the lens of a computer. Mm-hmm. That was the one that started it.
Yeah, and there was a horror that came out, I think, in the last, like, couple years it came out.
Yeah, I saw that one, I think.
What was the name of that one?
I'm remembering, like, Searching. I don't think that was the horror one, but that was another one on a screen.
That was a thriller, a missing, a teen girl's missing mom, and she figures out where she went. That was a good movie.
But yeah, the horror one, I definitely saw that a long time ago.
I think there were multiple.
I think there were probably a few,
Like, honestly, very cool concept. And I don't think it's bad that there were a few different versions of that. I think it's cool that they you know, did it in a different way.
But the fact that a marketing tactic is what led to that amount of creativity.
Yeah.
I really don't see Apple making those kinds of initiatives anymore.
No, and I think part of that might be how much they keep internally, especially with Apple TV Plus being, you know, such a forefront now and them wanting to, you know, lean in so much more to their original content. Mm-hmm. I understand the reasoning behind it from a business perspective, but collaboration is something that, you know, inspires people and has like an everlasting effect.
Right.
We're still talking about that episode 10 years later. Yeah. Whatever it is now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool that at that point they were doing that. I hope that they do more of that.
Please.
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 Collaborate with us. Collaborate with my band. Collaborate with us.
I mean, there you go. I mean, that's actually a perfect segue. I wanted to talk about what, we talked about Apple Silicon, but what in terms of software has changed over the past few years for you guys? Does it make it easier, harder? Like, what features are there? Obviously, I'm a video guy, so I don't really know very much about the audio scene on the Mac. So if you could just shed some light on, like, how that has all evolved.
I mean, starting from, let's just even say, the hardware of the Mac.
Right.
The speakers have improved so much to a point where
if
we're just trying to listen to something, listen to an idea, and you know, share amongst ourselves, listening back on MacBook speakers is not a bad experience anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to not be so great. The microphone systems that they have on these new machines is fundamentally so different than how it was even just a few years ago. We did quite a few Zoom writing sessions during the pandemic, and having much better machines to use during that period of time definitely made it easier for us to collaborate. We had so many writing sessions. We would get together and we would, the band would isolate together in a cabin that we would rent for, like, you know, a period of time, like a month or whatever. And so we would do very long distance Zoom sessions. And it helped with the experience for sure. And that's more so, like, obviously on the hardware side, but software has improved so much over the last few years. And I would say with Apple Silicon, it's changed drastically, especially in performance. I mean, we have the ability, we have our sessions are so unorganized sometimes and so large, and just so filled with a variety of different plugins, whether it's stock Logic plugins, which are still pretty good, better than the Pro Tools plugins, I will say. Avid needs to step up their game on the stock plugins, but Logic as a whole has improved so much. Mm-hmm. All the features that we use have gotten elevated to a whole new level. Being able to change, say for example, like audio to MIDI and vice versa. The stock features within Logic Pro has just completely shifted. It has become very pro consumer on a professional level still though.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that's why we're seeing so many larger artists. I could name off a laundry list, but every Billie Eilish record is made in Logic Pro.
Really?
Yeah. Phineas exclusively uses Logic Pro. I think they've had a couple of partnerships with Apple.
Oh wow! But that would make sense.
But their records are phenomenal, and I will say like Logic as a whole is probably the most stable DAW out of all of the DAWs that are out there. Pro Tools still crashes all the time. It doesn't matter how good your hardware is, it will still crash. And I will say Pro Tools is a necessary and inevitable software to use in audio production. There's just a large standard, that's been set across the entire industry for decades. And Logic has given it a run for its money, I will say. Pro Tools has had to improve in so many ways, and it would not have gotten there without the push and the competition from Logic Pro.
Wow.
So
that's an interesting perspective. And I also think that it's what you mentioned about the hardware, the speakers and the microphones. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting perspective because I think when Apple announces these types of things, right, I think it was the 16-inch added their Pro Mic Array.
Yes.
And then obviously even through Apple Silicon, the speakers have become incredibly good. The microphone's incredibly good. And on the iPhone, they now have those Pro Mics.
So good.
And a lot of people, when I've talked about those and how good they are, have said, well, I don't really understand the point of this. Like, you're not going to use a phone to record your album. You're not going to use the MacBook speakers to play back your album. And while that may be the case, if you're like, oh, I've got this idea for a melody, boop, 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 bang it out, use your iPhone, use your MacBook, having those really high-quality microphones, maybe that's not where you're going to have your final recording.
Be surprised.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but there are, I think people would be shocked to know the amount of clips that we record on an iPhone mic, which is phenomenal, by the way.
Just this, really?
Before they added all the additional mics on these new 16 Pro phones, just the standard bottom microphone, I think since the iPhone 4 or 4S has been...
That long?
Elite. Wow. Elite.
Wow.
It is the best microphone on a smartphone for decades running. Decades.
That's incredible.
And we have voice notes that have made it to songs, but during this last recording process, I will say we would do something where, oh, there's this tiny little guitar sound we want to make, or even a vocal part we've recorded and it's made its way into the record.
Wow.
Yeah, our co-producer Chase from the band Coin, phenomenal band, by the way.
Oh, well, we're both fans.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Amazing band. We played this, so the Wiltern, not to digress here, but the Wiltern is the first place that we played let me rephrase that. When we played Wiltern for the first time, it was with Coin. We were opening for Coin, and that was a fantastic experience. But from that grew into a relationship where we ended up producing music together, and Chase, I will say, uses the iPhone mic a lot.
Wow, that is really interesting.
And it's something that I feel like I honestly had to let go of as like a like, we should be, you know, using these pro microphones through this professional interface going into the, you know, the MacBook or whatever. At the end of the day, what you're looking to do is capture creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think the quickest way to that sometimes is the most important way to do it. And with a really great iPhone mic, that can be the way.
Wow, that is really, yeah. I mean, on the video side, I definitely hear that, especially with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. This summer, I shot a whole voyage across Europe, 2,000 miles road trip.
Crazy.
Which was an insane experience. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the B-roll that we used, we shot on iPhone.
Wow.
And I think the real benefit of it, of having these prosumer level cameras, speakers and mics, mm-hmm. is that you can just very casually get totally usable, even really, really good footage.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, this whole crazy rig. You don't have to be a purist and say, well, I want to do everything properly. Because I'll tell you what, if I wanted to get a tracking shot of a car on the highway, I could A, stick my phone out the window and hit the record button, or I could get a gimbal and maybe a couple of like external suction mounted arms. Probably you'd need at least 3 or 4 to get the camera truly stable. You'd probably still need an optically image stabilized lens, and you'd probably still need to apply some stabilization after the fact.
A lot of work.
Or you can just hit, boom, action mode, done.
There you go.
Quick voice note, quick test on the speakers. These are, I think a lot of people do dismiss them because they just think, well, this microphone is better than the microphone on my phone.
Yeah.
And even though that's true, that's not necessarily always the best way to capture what you want to capture.
I absolutely agree. I think that you know, doing it this way is fantastic and sometimes necessary in you know, settings where you have more time, preparation, whatever it may be. But yeah, like the ease of use with it, and it's only getting
with.
It's hard to argue with, and it's only improving, especially with these, you know, these new microphones and the 16 Pro and the additional functionality and software and AI that Apple's added to be able to cut out, you know, background noise or just focus on what's in shot, things like that. Honestly, speed up the process of delivering content for creators, period, you know, especially if it's just like, let's film this quick TikTok and then we'll put it out today, like right now, you know? Mm-hmm. All that could be is recording on the iPhone 16 Pro. We're on a busy street. Let's switch the, you know, the audio setting, and now it's ready for posting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And the thing that I like, so like, you know, music expert, video expert, I am neither of those things. I'm a, you know, maybe you call me
programming
coding
expert,
but yes. Maybe you call that, but
sure.
But the creative, so having these tools is like really, because I don't have the fancy stuff, you know what I mean? So like this is my one option if I want to, you know, film a video or, you know, record some audio or whatever. And the fact that it's so good, just, you know, the basic stuff is like really, it means I don't have to, you know, it's not like, oh, I have to get a fancy camera or else I can't get a good video. It's like,
right.
I have something that I can use and it's actually really nice.
And still somehow, what likely is the cheapest entry to get into having, you know, professional gear at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Like otherwise you're spending upwards of thousands of dollars on expensive cameras or microphones or whatever it may be to achieve that level of quality. So.
Yeah, exactly. And for someone like me, I'm unfortunately just not going to do that.
Yeah.
So having that option is like really, really nice.
Right. It's not always worth it to go out and buy a DSLR camera. And now you don't really have to, because even if it's as simple as saying, well, right now I have an iPhone 13, I want to get into video more. So this time when I upgrade to a 16, I'll make it a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Just that little extra upfront investment, and you get yourself most of the way there.
Oh my goodness!
That is truly, I did not expect that you would actually use that much like iPhone recording in actual produced music.
Yeah. Absolutely,
that is genuinely news to me.
Yeah, I mean, you can look back at some of our footage from the cabin where we stayed for about a month producing this last record. Chase will just throw an iPhone mic up to Rob playing a guitar part Or I'll hold a microphone over top of the drums just to get a crushed drum sound that still sounds pretty darn good. But what we're looking for is just the fast-paced, I have an idea, mm-hmm. let's get it down and then, you know, get it into the, you know, the software and there it is, you know?
So, wow. Yeah. And so when you get audio in that way, do you have to apply any sort of post-processing? Do you need to filter out for background hums and hisses, or do you just kind of drag and drop?
It really depends on the use case. It depends on whether we're trying to get a very saturated sound, or if we're looking to get something super clear. We've had instances where it's an acoustic guitar, we're looking for something clear. We're looking for something that's just simple and can honestly pick up, you know, the acoustic so, so well. It really does a fantastic job.
Wow.
Or with drums, for example, if we're looking to get this like super compressed, crushed, energetic sound, we'll apply some processing to that and just, you know, compress it with plugins or what have you. And it's versatile though, you know, you don't need to put processing on it to achieve a specific sound, but you can, and it's just, you know, you can pretty much get whatever you want with it, you know?
That is impressive.
I know people who even use the wired ear pods.
Oh, like, still? Oh,
wow. Still.
More than just TikTokers are still using those?
Well, I feel like that's a more recent thing.
True.
I will say, I remember a few years ago being on tour with Coyne and Chase talking about the new record and him literally using, I think, the standard audio jack ear pods wired up and just recording vocals for the record.
Wow.
For the record with that microphone.
What?
Wow. With the little control piece on the ear pods. And I was dumbfounded, and I have been proven wrong. Like,
what?
They don't sound bad. They don't
Those
sound
came
bad
out in
at all.
2012.
I know. They're like 12
That's unbelievable.
And it really just goes to show, like I've said a couple of times, and I'll reiterate, it's not about the best gear all the time. Sometimes it's just about capturing,
yeah,
you know, what you need to capture. So.
And speaking of capturing what we need to capture, I think we are being indicated that you might need to capture some sound checks.
I might need to capture some sound checks. I'm gonna check in. We're having a little knock at the door here, so maybe a brief intermission if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let me have a look and see what's going on here. All right. Oh, I'm so jealous of that size.
Oh yeah, the series.
It doesn't look like a whole lot larger either.
It's. I mean, the bezels are just. Yeah, it's not a ton bigger.
Like,
but the bezels are
tiny. Not huge.
Right.
You know, but it.
I was kind of afraid it was going to be.
I was worried. I thought like maybe that this might size people out of the larger.
Yeah.
But I don't think it has. I think they did a great job.
I think more than that, they even made the smaller size actually feasible, because I think it was previously way too small.
I agree. Yeah. Now it fits. I think it's honestly the smaller size might be more one size fits all than the larger one now.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Great.
Because it was previously like acceptable and way too small.
Yeah, totally.
Only basically for like children.
Yeah.
Or like my aunt.
Yeah. And we've landed in a much, much better spot.
Yeah.
I'm a little, I remember texting you. I was like, all right, it's series 10. They didn't do the Roman numerals thing. And you were kind of like, well, it doesn't feel like necessarily a huge upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much of a monumental jump with this watch as it was going from like iPhone 7 to iPhone 10.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely incremental, but I think they did a good job with it.
Yeah.
And I would say, even though they still quote 18-hour battery life, which every Apple Watch has had literally since the first one in 2015.
Jeez.
I swear that this is better.
Really?
Than it used to be. I mean,
it's gotta be.
I'm at 90% now. And it's 2 p.m. I took it off the charger at like 8.
Okay, I'm at.
I usually will finish 26. The day, depending on how much I'm using the watch, like navigation or whatnot, I'm usually between 30 and 50% at like night.
Right.
So it's not a 2-day battery.
I would love.
But it is an all-day battery.
I would love, Apple, if you're listening, just give us a 48-hour standard Apple Watch battery.
Yeah.
We love it. We would love that. It's like, honestly, I'm happy with where we are, like, feature-wise. I love all of the workout functionality on our days off on tour. I am throwing my sport band on, and I'm trying to hit the gym every single time because staying active on tour is crucial. Mm. It's so important, especially just staying healthy as a whole. So, like, feature set-wise, I'm very content, you know?
Right.
I would like the hardware to be elevated a little. Just a little.
Yeah. No, I think you're definitely right. What I'm curious about is you're on a relatively new Ultra One because do you want to explain what happened to your Apple Watch Ultra?
I'll tell you very briefly. Oh, last year, I took it swimming for the first time. So I had it for like a year.
Right.
I took it swimming and it just completely fried and killed itself.
And this is, by the way, a dive computer.
Yeah. I took it in a regular pool, just like a regular old swimming pool. Killed it. The good news was that Apple did replace it for free.
Okay.
So they gave me a new one for free.
And he was a week out of warranty.
Yeah, it was a week. It was like a week after the regular warranty.
I've been there. I remember working at the Apple store being like, because I worked at the Genius Bar for a little bit too, and the amount of things I had to go to management for to approve, I was just, honestly, I'm too nice. After a short stint at the Genius Bar, I ended up going back to sales. I think I talked too much. I talked too much. I wasn't able to you know, complete those appointments and stuff, but I would yap and I would replace everybody's device for free.
Well, we appreciate.
I am very
like
for
that.
The people. Sorry, Apple. I was hitting your bottom line a little bit there, but I was, oh my God, the amount of like, yeah, that iPhone 6 camera looks like it's sliding a little bit there. Like do you remember the repair program on the?
Yeah. The OIS.
Yeah. And so I would replace quite a few iPhones. Stuff like that.
I should have gone to your Apple store.
I know.
I've had 3 entire MacBooks replaced because of the butterfly keyboard.
Oh my God.
One on purpose. One was like, I had 3 top cases and they gave it to me. The other one, I had no idea I was going to get a new MacBook. I took in a MacBook that I was about to sell, but the F key was stuck on the butterfly keyboard. I was like, all right,
oh my God.
I'll bring it in. Mm. I'll get them to replace it so that I can say that it's a new battery in my eBay listing.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
they killed the logic board. When they were doing the swap.
Oh, they did that for me one time, too.
Don't know how they did that. And it was a weird spec. They didn't have it. And I had to go back to college. I was home for winter break. And I was like, well, I can't come in. I need it today. And they couldn't ship it. So he just went in the back, grabbed me a 16-inch, because it was in that period of time. So I went from a 2018 Intel to a butterfly keyboard to a 16-inch for free. And they just brought me a spec that was nicer than, and I bought it used, so I profited very nicely on
That's a nice little experience.
Yeah,
that's what Apple would call their surprise and delight moments.
Yeah, were you working at the Apple Store in Marion Station, Pennsylvania, in January 2020?
Because
that
might have
been
I
you.
I wasn't. I actually left Apple about 6 months before that. I think I left in maybe not. I think that's 6 months. It was. I think I left the last month I worked at Apple was August of 2019.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. So you really did get your MacBook Pro right before got that discount right and off you went.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it was a sad day to leave Apple. They were a fantastic company to work for. I would still recommend anybody you know that's looking to do. Whether it's retail or you know beyond that on more you know the corporate side, it's a great company. It's you know we obviously have our you know our notes and the things that we talk about, the wish lists and the things that we want, and they have been listening to their customers and consumers a lot more recently. Mm. It's very evident, especially. You know,
except for when it pertains to AirPods Max.
Oh my God, I know. Like Apple, what are you doing?
Come on, man.
Just throw that H2 chip in there, man. Like, Give us.
I forgot they didn't even do the H2 chip. Yeah.
Look, from somebody who owns a recently acquired pair of AirPods Max, I'm not super sad about the upgrade because mm-hmm. I did just recently acquire them. It was a gift from my girlfriend. Love it. Super happy. So when the new ones came out, I was like, all it's got is USB-C.
Yeah.
I still have quite a few lightning cables, but I like everything to be USB-C. Sure. I would love that.
What'll convince me more is the mouse and keyboard, because my Mac Pro mouse and keyboard are still lightning.
That's got to be coming this fall.
And so, and so my logic was, look, I could spend $550 to get a new port and a little bit of paint, or I could acknowledge the fact that at the desk where I use those AirPods Max, I already have a lightning cord that I use to charge the mouse and keyboard.
Sure.
So it really, I don't bring it with me on trips. You know, I'll charge up my AirPods Max before I go to, like, I went to Europe for almost a month.
Wow.
And I did not need to charge them.
Really?
I don't use them a ton, but the battery life is so good.
It's great.
That, you know, I can do what, I went to Australia last month. I used 50% of the battery on a 13-hour flight, basically using them constantly.
Wow. I will say that is impressive. I'm sure also with active noise cancellation on the entire time.
Oh, likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like...
Spatial audio too, so it's doing head tracking.
And it's great. And look, where the AirPods Max started from was ahead of the curve, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're... How many years?
Way behind.
How many years later?
4 years.
Look, we're not asking for a lot. What I'm asking for as well, looking even within the Apple product line, which I guess technically Beats would be included in.
Yeah.
I think it's the new generation of Beats Studio headphones. It's got lossless digital audio through USB-C at 48K or something. And as an audiophile, I'll call myself a soft audiophile.
Okay.
I am not.
I mean, are in a band.
I'm in a band.
We are on tour currently.
Yeah.
I would say you can call yourself a regular audiophile.
Sure, sure. So I'm an audiophile. I think that if your, I guess, cheaper version of you know, an over-ear headphones has this feature, why is that not translating to your flagship product for audio? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, and at the moment, with these new USB-C AirPods Maxes, if you want to use a wired cable with it, you can't. It doesn't exist.
There's I know. No, what is the point? What
if you're
are
going,
they doing?
Look, if you're going to ship a revision of a product, at least ship the revision of the accessory that supports wired
I use that audio. All the time. Genuinely, every time I'm on an airplane, I use that so that I can use the seatback entertainment and just plug in the AirPods to it.
And we don't have it yet.
Losing functionality when you've updated a product after 4 years is actually insane.
It's crazy.
And it didn't address any of the issues that Noah had with it.
I bought the AirPods Max when they came out and I returned them.
Really?
They were just, the main thing was they were just too heavy and
they
the clamping force was like too much for me.
Yeah.
I have like Bose QC35 2s.
Great.
I've had those since like 2018. And I'm like, when they said they were doing AirPods Max, I'm like, okay, if they do it right, I will upgrade.
Yeah.
2018, they're still great, but like I can upgrade it.
Yep.
But they did basically nothing. So I'm not upgrading.
This kind of takes us to like a prediction standpoint and a future of like, what do we want?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be another 4.5, however many years it was, between I can't even call it a second generation AirPods
Max.
Repainted AirPods Max to whatever the next generation of that looks like. I don't think it's going to be that long. Mm. I think it's more of a stopgap to get things to USB-C, and I think that we're going to see a lot more of that happen with current generation products. I mean, the first thing we saw that on was the second generation AirPods Pro. We got a USB-C case, but no update. And that was very shortly after, I think, the AirPods Pro second generation came out, because it shipped with Lightning first, and then it came with USB-C.
the AirPods Pro 2.
Yeah.
I thought those were always USB-C.
It initially shipped with Lightning the case. I believe, I could be mistaken.
It's very confusing. I think a lot of it is EU legislation.
Yeah.
Because I think that they're basically saying you are not going to sell something with a Lightning port in the EU. That's one of the reasons why there were two versions of AirPods 4. Because AirPods 3 were Lightning. And so they couldn't just introduce a new one and keep selling that one. So they said, okay, let's do AirPods 4 and AirPods 4 ANC.
And there's
by the way, sound really good.
Really?
They're really, really good.
So I have the third generation AirPods. One thing I like to always have is a just regular AirPods just to have on me at all times. I might be a little bit of a hot take. I personally prefer working out with base AirPods versus the versus the pros. Yeah, with the pros, I just find that I hear every step in my in my ears. I don't mind it walking, but running, I just feel it like go through my ears every time.
No, you're right. You're right.
Also, by the way, those people at the gym that work out with AirPods Maxes, what are you doing? Really?
No, that's crazy. That's actually crazy.
I know.
It's a chore.
I mean, I will grant you that if you need to like lay down on the squat rack, they just fall right off my head.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I wonder if they'll ever get to a point where they can be a little bit more secure. I mean,
it has to be lighter.
And I was going to say, it might just be a matter of making them.
I mean, they're aluminum and stainless steel in headphones.
Let's.
And also that the mesh band, has yours collapsed yet?
No, I mean, I haven't had it for a long time.
Well, how long have you had it?
A couple months, maybe.
All right, you've got about three left.
Really?
Literally 6 months, gone.
I bought the AppleCare for them. I don't know.
Will they replace them for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Get ready to get new AirPods Max every 6 months because pretty much as long as it lasts.
What is the out-of-warranty repair cost for something like that?
I have no earthly clue. I didn't even think to do that.
Yeah.
I have a silicone thing that I bought off of Amazon.
And it covered?
That just covers it up and basically is its own cushion.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that exists.
I can send you the link to that. Because
I might need it. You're gonna see.
No, you will need it.
Yeah.
If you plan on keeping, unless you're planning on Apple carrying your headphones every 6 months, gonna need it.
Look, I utilize Apple Care to the max. And obviously having a little bit of background with Apple, I understand how Apple Care works.
Yeah.
And so
So you don't have any qualms about let's max it out.
Nope, I'm gonna, if I'm paying for it, I am going to, and I used to use it a lot more with the phones. I actually, with my previous phone, with the iPhone 14 Pro that I had, I never needed to use AppleCare once.
Really?
I was a little surprised by it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying...
When you say use AppleCare, are you saying like for breaking the phone? Are you saying for like...
A battery thing, maybe.
Something, battery went low, or like,
yeah.
Are your phones, do you just have like really bad luck and you're getting bad batches and they keep dying all the time?
So my iPhone 10 that I had, I think I went from iPhone 10 to 11 Pro to 14 Pro. Sometimes I'll do a three generation gap, sometimes I'll do two.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in my iPhone journey, I was doing one generation. I would go from 4S to 5 to 5S. That was a little excessive, but...
I mean, we do it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And, I mean, for a lot of people, for people like us, I would say, the enthusiasts, you know, it makes sense to do it.
The sheep, you can say it.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, like, I think for the 11 Pro, I was shocked at... because that was the first, I think, well, maybe it was the 10S, fully water-resistant... with submersion.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they advertised it as, actually, I think it was the 10S. I remember an ad. It was beer proof. Do you remember this?
I think I remember ad.
It was a number of years ago, obviously, now, but they advertised it where I think it got dropped in like a pint of beer or something.
Yeah. And they definitely did a number of, between like 2018 and 2021, they did have a lot of like, oops, spilled a bunch of stuff, but you're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. And so with my 11 Pro, I didn't have any issues. I actually, I maybe mentioned this to you guys, but my 11 Pro was one of my favorite phones that I had. It was a fantastic phone.
I think if you ask most people, like the people listening and watching this, the 11 Pro has a special place in everybody's heart because it looked incredible.
It's great.
It was, the battery was just the best.
So good.
At the time, I mean, I think in terms of, you know, modern day, I think our screen time has gone up.
Absolutely.
So like you could have a new 11 Pro now and it would probably not do as well as a 16 Pro. But for 2019, it was unbeatable.
Incredible. I mean, it was the phone that I had through the entire pandemic.
Mm.
It lasted a long time. That was the first 3-generation phone, I think, that I had, where I had kept it for a longer period of time. But I recognized, like, this phone is fantastic, and I'm not noticing a slowdown. I'm not noticing a battery drain at any point in its life cycle. The only thing that made me have to replace it is I went to a festival, and a little bit of rain happened, and it actually continued working. There was no issue with the phone, but I saw that moisture in the in the camera lens, and I was like, it's only a matter of time. So I went and I replaced it.
I mean, but if you can, why not?
Yeah, and that was in its third year. So,
you know, Noah, wasn't the iPhone 10 one of the only iPhones that you kept for 3 years?
Really?
Yeah, well, I had the 6S before the 10. Then I had the 10. And then I waited till the 12 Pro.
So you had 6S, 7. Okay, so that's a 2-year cycle.
That's pretty good.
And then you had the 10, 11, or 10S.
Yeah, skip 11, the 10S, 12.
So yeah, that was a 3-year cycle.
Yeah.
Gosh, it might just be that I'm that much of a nerd where I'm like, going from the 10 to the 12 Pro sounds like a way too long amount of time. I could never keep a phone for 3 years.
It's funny because
I'm just that much of a weirdo.
That's a lot of, it's a huge design language change, obviously. Like when the 12 Pro came out, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them going back to
square side instead of round side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And now we're on whatever generation of, you know, the SSSS. I think we're now on the iPhone.
Lord.
16 Pro SSSS.
I mean, honestly, you could argue that we're on the 11 Pro SSSS.
Yeah.
Because, like, the 11 Pro camera design has not gone away.
Nope.
I don't know. We talked about this last week, and we do need to wrap up, so I'll make it pithy.
Yeah.
The iPhone 16 Pro would feel a lot more impressive than it is if they had combined some of the features that they've been releasing. Like, imagine if the Dynamic Island, USB-C, titanium enclosure, and larger display had all happened at the same time, whether this year or last year.
Big jump.
That, we would have all said, this is a redesign, this is the new design for the phone.
Right.
But they're spreading all the features out so that really they don't feel any different from each other.
Yeah.
If you go from a 13 to a 16 Pro, you're going to notice that jump.
Big jump, yeah.
But year over year, it's just like boop, 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 little things.
Iterative. And I can appreciate that. The iPhone is in a very good place right now. It's harder to add new design language to, you know, something that people are also familiar with too.
Right.
You know, there's only so much you can do. You know, we're not in the days anymore of 4S is the last, you know, look of that phone, and then now we're at 5 and 5S, and those phones are larger. And, you know, even going from 5 to 5S, we got Touch ID. Like, that was a huge thing.
And it was the first 64-bit processor.
Massive.
That was a huge one.
Massive, and which, you know, we're still there. And we probably
True Tone Flash, slow motion video recording.
Yeah.
5S was a big phone.
5S was a big phone, yeah.
Without a redesign.
Yeah.
It's possible to be, it can be done.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. First phone was space gray, and that color is, are we done with
space
it now?
Gray.
I think it's gone now because they've switched to midnight.
Is there anything that's left?
They did space gray. Black for something.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's kind of different.
I think the MacBook Pros
They still have...
The current generation has Space Gray still.
Yeah.
And that might be it. I think that's it.
Can I get a Starlight MacBook Pro?
Yeah. Like, I really like... So my mom got a new M... not new, but she got the M2 MacBook Air in Starlight, and I...
It's a lovely color.
It's a lovely color, and it lasts.
It does.
Very well.
It's fortunate that I am a complete perfectionist and I have never so much as dented a MacBook Pro.
Really?
Impressive. But I think if I were to chip the space black surface, I would be like, I'm getting a new MacBook.
I love it. It looks
I just can't.
So good. I love space black.
Is that what you would get on an M4?
It's tough. Like, so I guess this comes now to our... You know, what's coming up here, and, you know, we talked about it already, but the M4 Max, they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
It is on my wish list. I will be getting one. And I think the color choice, if space gray isn't there, I don't know if I would go for space gray. I do really like the black. The new, and it's called space black, right? The current version of it. I'd probably go for space black.
If it's between silver, space gray, and space black... I think you got to do space black.
Yeah, and it's fresh, you know? Like, we've had space gray for...
Well, on the MacBook, so it's been long. 8 years.
Yep.
On the MacBook Pro specifically.
Mm-hmm.
On the iPhone, 11 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over space black. I mean, space gray.
Yeah. Space gray has been around for a long time. And I appreciate the fact that you need to have a variety of colors, you know? I really think... Looking back, feeling that nostalgia, looking at like the 4 and 4S and that black glass,
mm-hmm.
that looked really good. But we hadn't had an actual black color for the phones in a long time. I think jet black on the 7 was maybe the next time they ended up going to...
That's true.
An actual like the, very deep black
I think color the iPhone... Phone. 10 kept it. They kept it around for a little while, but then they got rid of it for the 11 Pro because that was space gray. The 12 was space gray.
Yep.
The 13 was space gray.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, fine, you can have black.
On the 14 Pros,
yeah.
Which I got. And I thought it looked
That's what
really,
I got too.
It looked really good. Looked
Noah
really
got the good. Purple.
I got the purple. Got the color of the year.
Look, I appreciate the people. I call it out every time I see it. Every time I have a friend and they get the new phone... And they go for the new flagship color. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, somebody's got to do it. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Noah has the exact same one, too.
Yep.
Noah always gets the color of the year, even if it sucks.
Yeah, that purple, I was not a huge fan of that purple.
No. It was it was weird, dark. It was a weird choice.
Yeah. Muddy.
When Apple went for the blues, like I will say the flagship 13 Pro color, that blue was... So nice.
Sierra blue.
I had that one.
I really like it.
Of course you did. And you had Pacific blue the year before that.
Mm-hmm. Which I really like.
And I like that one.
If they had a blue color for the pros this year, I would have gone for it. But there is not.
I'm a sucker for blue.
Me too.
Absolutely.
So, Apple, bring us back some blue, please.
And while we're waiting, we should probably wrap up this podcast.
Yes.
Because I think that we're going to be waiting for a little while for those those Apple Blues.
I think so.
But by the time you guys watch or listen to this episode, we'll be just a few days ahead of the incredible update, the iPad Mini 7 that I know we're all super excited for, with M4 Max right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But tell them a little bit about the tour. I think probably by the time people listen to this, they'll still be able to catch some show time. So do a little plug.
Well, I mean, look, we're in LA right now. By the time this comes out, we're going up the West Coast. I think San Francisco would have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle and Portland, you might be able to catch us there.
There you go.
I believe Seattle is the 22nd of October. For our Canadian viewers, Vancouver on the 23rd. Very excited for that show. And then we're coming back home towards Toronto. Across Canada, hitting a bunch of other lovely places that we don't get to go to very often. And I'm very happy to say that we're hitting pretty much every major market along the way back to Toronto, and then going past Toronto and going all the way to Eastern Canada. We're doing PEI. I don't know if you guys know these places very well.
I don't.
That's okay. PEI, we're doing Halifax.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Halifax.
Yeah.
Great town. So you can catch us all the way out there. And then the hometown show in Toronto on December 13th.
So. And of course, make sure to check out Valley on Spotify or Apple Music or your streaming or purchase of choice.
Tidal.
Sure.
I'm still an Apple Music guy, but we love Spotify. I use Spotify too, but stream us.
Got to appease them.
Yeah. We got some really, really great, you know, relationships. Love everybody there. Love you guys. Listen to us wherever you stream your music, and thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. We're super excited to catch the show tonight. By the time you guys will have seen this, then we'll have already been. But I'm super excited. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I've been your host, Luke Miani.
I've been your host, Noah Rubin.
And I've been Alex from the band Valley.
And we'll continue to be Alex for the band.
I will continue to be Alex.
Hopefully, please.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for watching.